Hey, Songtown, do your songs suck now more than they ever have?
Say what?
Well, good. It probably means you're a much better songwriter than you think you are. I know we all have those nagging doubts sometimes. We feel like a fraud. Do we feel like we're good enough? I felt that way occasionally.
Yeah.
You?
I have.
That's perfectly normal. We're going to show you three signs today that you're actually a much better songwriter than you think you are. So kick it off.
Shall we dive in?
Yeah.
Number one, I think, is that you hear what's wrong faster.
Yes.
So you start, instead of thinking everything's great the day you write it.
Beginner bliss. That's exactly what I call it.
Exactly.
I wrote a song and it's beautiful and it's the best song in the whole world.
Instead of beginner's bliss, you learn to start on the fly doing some editing. Not that you have to stop being creative and edit, but you start to hear, oh, that's not the right choice, or, you know, oh, I'm changing my pronouns, something's going on that's messing me up. And when you catch those things on the fly, that means you're getting to be a better songwriter.
Or if you're not catching them on the fly, but you come back the next day and it's not half as good as you remember it being when you were excited. You know, When we're writing them, we're all excited and we think it's wonderful, and then we come back the next day and we see all those things. Oh no, the chorus doesn't really hit you when it comes in, and you start seeing all those things that are wrong. You see the holes in it, but it's all part of the natural growing process. Yeah.
One big hit songwriter that used to write with my first publisher, every single day when they came out of the writing room, he would go, "We wrote a smash," and my publisher would be behind him going,
"Oh no, that's cruel."
No, we didn't. Some days they did, but not every single day. You know,
I knew a writer, and you would ask him, like, "How did your session go today?" And he'd go, "I think I wrote the best song I've ever written." But he would say that every time, so It was like,
"Yeah, that's funny." I used to have a friend who did that about sweet tea. At every restaurant we went to, he was like, "They have the best tea here." I'm like, "Okay, they've had the best tea at the last five places we've been."
Okay, this is called getting way off topic.
No, it's on the topic.
We're squirrels.
Because we think every day song is the best song we've ever written.
Right.
Just like sweet tea. Everyone can't be the best one.
We come back the next day and that song has some work we got to do.
Exactly.
Yep.
All right, what's number two?
Number two, we rewrite instead of getting defensive.
Ooh.
So this happens sometimes when there's a new member of Songtown and they turn in a song for pro feedback and they love the song and they get something back like, "Well, your second verse needs some work. Here's where you went off the rails." And either two things happen. They get defensive and they quit and they're mad. Or they dig in and they go, "Okay, I need to do some rewriting." And I've known writers when I first moved to town to be a professional writer, I was always told that great songs are not written, they're rewritten. And so once you get to that point where you can accept criticism or you can accept feedback, it helped me. I remember playing a song for my co-writer's publisher. He's like, "Boys, this is a great song, but nobody's going to cut it unless you put a bridge in there." And not because every song should have a bridge. He just knew it needed to say one thing more. Mm-hmm. And so we went back in. We wrote a bridge. It got cut. It was a top five hit. That never would have happened. Song called "She Thinks She Needs Me" by Andy Grigg. He was a singer.
Great song.
But that wouldn't have happened if I had gone, you know, "They don't know what they're talking about. What is that?" I couldn't really say that about this guy because he was one of those rare publishers that had written some legendary songs. So,
yeah.
So what's number three for you?
Well, I had one more thing to say on that.
Okay.
I had this happen two or three weeks ago. Ronna Reeves, that runs one of our staff writer program, I turned a song into her, and she messaged me, and she was like, "I love everything about this song except your title."
Oh.
And I said, "Do you mean the words or the way we sang the title?" And she was like, all of it. I don't love anything about the hook.
It's trash.
And so I went back to my co-writer, and I'm like, okay, let's find another hook for this song. And we found one that we loved. We redid it, and Ronna loved it. You know, so now she's out pitching it. But, you know, she wouldn't have pitched it, I don't think, if we had not made that change.
Here's my rule with that. If the feedback rings true in my gut, here's my gut down here, not up here. If it rings true in my gut and my heart, then I'm going to chase that and see if I can implement that feedback into my writing. If I think they're off base, I'm never going to just do something because somebody wants me to do it, you know, because that's not being authentic. I did have a hit one time that a publisher said, oh, this second verse is garbage. And I just basically said, I didn't tell him, but I said to my co-writers, like, I don't think he knows what he's talking about. And when that song went number one, he called me and apologized. And it's nice of him to do, because we're not always right.
Right.
But my point is, one instance, my gut says, you know, that advice is right. And another instance, my gut said that advice is not right. And you have to ultimately do what makes you happy, what you feel is right. You know?
What if your gut always says the advice is wrong?
Then my gut is wrong. My gut needs some better probiotics.
Some antacids or something.
It needs probiotics so that it gets the gut flora in shape there.
Well, and you know, in this particular situation, my co-writer and I weighed that feedback and we thought, you know, there's probably some merit to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ronna is a person that I respect. She knows good songs when she hears them and that kind of thing. And so, you know, if it had been my Aunt Myrtle telling me she didn't like the title, right, we might not have changed it. But, you know, since it was somebody I respect, and Ronna gave me some reasons why she thought it wasn't great, too. So we evaluated that. We thought, yeah, it's probably right. And we fixed it and made it better.
Awesome. What you got for number three?
You focus on connection, not cleverness. I think a big mistake a lot of writers make is that they're writing to try to impress people instead of writing to try to move people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear a big hit song, it typically moves you to do something. You know, you want to get up and dance, or you want to sing along, or you want to, maybe it makes you cry, or it takes you back in time to a relationship you had. You know, there's some kind of reaction that it causes. And that's rare that it comes from being clever.
Right.
And we
comes
see,
from being real and writing something that comes from a real place so it connects with the audience.
Right.
I mean, there are clever, funny, clever songs.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like you have to have that personality to write it. And that's kind of the point of the song. It's kind of a funny joke.
Right.
You know, like Brad Paisley can write, I want to check you for ticks. You know, and it's got some clever lines, but that's kind of his shtick, you know. So if a song is a love song, trying to be clever is not going to get you there.
Yeah. And, you know, just every now and then, too, we see songs where it's obvious that the writer was trying to impress us or impress other songwriters. And people out there in the world listening to music, consuming music, don't care so much about the things that we might go, oh, that's a really cool rhyme. Or that's an interesting word, but people out there are going to be maybe like, I don't even know what that means.
They don't care.
Yeah, I wish they would use words I understand, you know.
One of the Gallagher brothers said in an interview, he's like, chord progressions. He's like, you think the person driving to work listening to the radio is worried about what chords I'm playing? It's like, chords don't matter. And so to me, being a music person, I'm going, oh, I don't want to hear that. I love chords. But on some level, he's correct that they want something that hits them, that moves them, that makes them feel emotional. And it's up to the writer to support his song with the right chords, but trying to be fancy and clever. Ooh, look at this chord I threw in here. Mm-hmm. The average listener doesn't care. They just want to be moved.
Exactly.
All right, you got a new book out, man.
I do.
Or almost out.
Next Level Lyric Writing. So if you're interested, you can pre-save it on Amazon. That really helps us get up in their algorithm. Clay's Melody book, it's been out a bit. It's still on the top seller list. Check them out.
See you later. Cheers. Right on.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you appreciate the content, hit the subscribe button and help us grow. Shout out to Sweetwater Music. It's where Marty and I get all our musical gear. Great people. We'll see you guys around town. Right on.